Welcome everybody, my name is Hayden Gleet, and this is the ProWrestling.net Ring of Honor podcast. After the break, for non-members, I will be looking at the television show that aired in syndication last weekend, and on the Fight TV app on Monday, and also on Comet TV on Wednesday the 1st of March. And we are back. Hello everybody, hope you're all well. And all those pleasantries. Today is St. David's Day here in Wales. So if you are Welsh and you're listening to this, I wish you a happy St. David's Day, or Dydd Gwyl Dewi, as it is in Welsh. I do need to say, last week, if for the members, you would have heard the audio, and you probably would have heard the wind in the background. It hasn't eased off in the last week. I'm not making that up. Sunny South Wales is being hit by absolute gale force winds. It's absolutely insane. But unfortunately, it's a bit of a miserable day outside. But do you know what is not miserable? .net membership. Do you see what I did there? Anyway, .net membership. If you're listening to this on the All Access side, you obviously get a sort of taste of what we do here on ProWrestling.net. You sometimes hear myself for the ROH review, and you also hear NXT and 205 Live, etc., etc., etc. But behind the paywall of ProWrestling.net, you hear reviews of every single major TV show in the US. We got Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, Ring of Honor, obviously, Lucha Underground when it's airing. All of them are covered in audio. We also do a audio of the of a review of every pay-per-view that is pumped out by the major companies, including this Sunday, where Jason Powell and Jake Barnett will be getting together quite soon after the Fastlane pay-per-view on Sunday, so you'll be able to hear their immediate thoughts, as well as, obviously, if you want to follow along with Jason Powell's coverage on the website, you can. There's also the Q&A audio with Jason every Monday, except for this Monday, where it'll be ProWrestling.net Live. I'll talk about that more later on. But again, with the membership, you also get the .net Weekly audio show, which is the flagship show of .net. And it's Jason Powell and a co-host, either one of the staff or sometimes a member of the wrestling community, such as JR. Matt Morgan has been on there, Dutch Mantel as well. They get together and they chat about the week as it was in the world of professional wrestling. Also, you get the Progress Wrestling Review with myself and Darren Guttridge. There's be another one next week, I believe. It all depends on when the Progress guys get their video up. So how much is this goodness that is .net membership, I hear you say? Well, for a month, it is $7.50. That's right, just $7.50. And if you're in the UK, that works out about £6.20, I believe. So if you are interested in membership, go to the main pages of ProWrestling.net, find the sign-up area. It's easy to find. Put in your details, and you get everything I just said, as well as ad-free access to the website and access to the archives, the whole 9 years that ProWrestling.net has been in business. You'll get access to every single audio, so plenty to be getting on with. So with all that out of the way, let's take a look at the Ring of Honor show from this week. And I thought it was a pretty good show. There were some nitpicky things, which I will be obviously getting into. My name is not Hayden Nitpick Gleed for nothing, you know. But that aside, I thought it was an action-packed edition with lots of storyline developments heading towards the pay-per-view, which I believe is a week tomorrow as you'll be listening to this. So without further ado, let's actually get into this, dive into it, and then we can talk about it as we go through. As I said earlier on, this aired over the weekend in syndication on the Fight TV app on Monday, and it was available on Wednesday on Comet TV. It was originally taped on February the 11th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at Stage AE. Don't know what the AE stands for. If anybody wants to tell me, go for it. So I'm going to be reading from Jason Powell's report, which you can find on the pages of ProWrestling.net if you wish to follow along with me. And it started with a Christopher Daniels video. And it aired footage of his Decade of Excellence tournament win, along with comments about his goal of winning the ROH title. With this, then, the opening video aired. In the arena, Ian Riccoboni and Bobby Fish checked in on commentary, and of course this was the first television tapings after Kevin Kelly had resigned from his full-time post, so Ian Riccoboni was making his full-time debut. Still don't have a regular colour commentator, but obviously we'll talk about that as well as we go through. Daniels headed to the ring for a promo and was heavily cheered. Riccoboni hyped Daniels getting his title shot at the 15th anniversary pay-per-view. Fish said there will be a title change in Manhattan, so he will defend against Daniels at the pay-per-view. Daniels recalled being on the first show and how his destiny was to become ROH champion. He spoke about the same scenario as the broadcast team was. Adam Cole interrupted and walked onto the stage for a promo. He mocked Daniels' age and also claimed he would be ROH champion forever. Cole said it looked like Daniels was ready to throw down. Cole said if it's a fight with a Bullet Club he wants, then it's a fight he will get. With this, Hangman Page attacked Daniels from behind. Cole entered the ring and set up to hit Daniels with a title belt, but Frankie Kazarian ran out to make the save. Fish on commentary said, "Take your time, Frankie. Your boy could have used the help." Kazarian took the house mic and said Daniels will be the next champion, and he asked for a tag match on the spot. The heels entered the ring and traded punches. Now, I'm reading from Jason's report. There is a slight correction I want to make in a minute, but there's a reason I'm going to make it, because Jason Powell's reports are always fantastic. It's just, this is, I think, a very important point. At least I think so. The actual whole segment itself was interesting. It was fun. Obviously, they're hamming up the Christopher Daniels possibility of winning the championship, which is, you know, it's got the crowd support behind it, and it's something that, you know, they're building a sympathy for Christopher Daniels, explaining his backstory of being in the first main event of ROH, but still never holding the world title. Hopefully, to build anticipation for them giving him the title. I still get frustrated by Adam Cole coming out, despite the fact that, this is just my personal opinion, he has the best music, entrance music anyway, in the whole of the wrestling business. I absolutely love it. I'm actually hoping at some point to do a British Invasion podcast with my good friend Darren, where we banter back and forth about our top five favorite entrance music, but that'd be down the line at some point. But I get so frustrated with Adam Cole when he comes out, and you know he's got the heel mannerisms, and he's supposed to be a heel, but yet he comes out and says it's story time with Adam Cole, baby. Ugh, really frustrates me. Simply because you don't. I know he's been arrogant, he's been cocky, but it's just giving the crowd the opportunity to cheer him and make him a babyface essentially, and it just doesn't mesh well in terms of when it actually comes to a fight between, say, Daniels and Adam Cole down the line. The crowd will want Christopher Daniels to win the title, but they still also like Adam Cole. So there's that disconnect at that point. There's no emotional attachment to the match, or it's not as much as they would like, and it's just frustrating. But I'm not going to go off on too much of a tangent about that. Get .net membership and you'll hear me moan about that in more detail on past audios. The reason I brought up the whole saying that Daniels will be the next champion is because I'm still clinging to this theory, and the fact that something that happened later on sort of plays this out, that Kazarian is going to turn on Daniels and cost him the title. And the reason that line is so important is because he never actually said Daniels would be the next champion. His exact words were, "You were looking at the next ROH champion," while both him and Daniels were in the ring. And I think that might be telling. I think that might be something that they can play on down the line in terms of, you know, all I said was that the next ROH champion's in front of you. Doesn't necessarily mean it's Daniels. I could be talking about myself. And again, the initial sort of thought about a breakup between those two, if it did happen, is, yeah, it'd be great in the short term in terms of the crowd would be baying for Kazarian's blood, for depriving them of the moment of Christopher Daniels finally winning the championship. But then what do you do with Kaz afterwards? I just, as talented as I think Kazarian is, without Daniels, it just feels a little bit hollow. I want to be proved wrong, and hopefully if they do go this route, you know, hopefully they'll have the opportunity to prove me wrong. But I just worry about Kazarian if that's the path they're going to take. But again, I'm just speculating, and I'm looking at things, putting two and two together, and I could be getting 674. So yeah, but overall, it was an entertaining segment. It built up the match between Adam Cole and Christopher Daniels, if that does indeed happen at the 15th anniversary pay-per-view. And it also set up our first match, which was Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian against Adam Cole and Hangman Page. The referee ran out and basically just started the match as the wrestlers were fighting. Kazarian dove onto Page at ringside. Bobby Fish on commentary claimed that Kazarian was letting his partner take a beating from Cole inside the ring. Foreshadowing, maybe? Just saying. Daniels caught Cole with a dropkick, then performed a suicide dive onto Cole and Page. Daniels went to ringside after the heels. Daniels set up for a moonsault, but Page grabbed his legs, and then Cole caught him with a super kick going into the first break. Following the break, the heels were isolating Daniels, who eventually made a hot tag to Kazarian, who worked over the heels. Daniels and Kazarian teamed up for a double team move that nearly led to a pin, but Adam Page broke it up. In the end, Daniels went for the best moonsault ever, but Page put his foot up and then rolled up Daniels for the win. So Adam Cole and Adam Page defeated Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. After the match, Kazarian jawed at Daniels, who was still sitting on the mat showing dejection over losing the match. Bobby Fish stood up at the broadcast table on the stage and spoke about how he would teach Cole a valuable lesson when he defeats him for the ROH title. Bobby Fish said, "Cole is not fit to be the king of ROH, but he is." He is, of course, referring to Manhattan Mayhem, which is happening tomorrow, the 3rd of March. Although I don't believe it's a regular pay-per-view, it's going to be on demand on the Ring of Honor website. So there's a whole pretty decent card being built up around that. Yeah, they're just playing off the possibility that Bobby Fish could, in fact, be the champion going into the 15th anniversary pay-per-view and be the person that Christopher Daniels has to face. But I didn't like his promo. I gotta be honest with you. I praised Bobby Fish last week on Members Audio, saying that I liked his sit-down interview where he was calm, he was reflective, he was making good points, he wasn't going over the top. This is the complete opposite. He went into absolute shouty mode, as I call it. It's just literally, instead of actually making a calm point, just shouting and hoping that that comes across as impressive as a good point would be. And I find that frustrating with Bobby Fish. I do really like him. And as I said last week, I think I rate him more higher than a lot of people do. But at the same time, I just can't stand the shouting version of Bobby Fish, and unfortunately, that's what we got here. Again, Kazarian, Daniels having a bit of a hoo-ha, shall we say. So, again, foreshadowing anybody? Just saying. So, again, a backstage camera showed Kazarian, who said Daniels isn't the only one with something to lose. Kazarian then walked away from Daniels as he slumped to the floor. You know what I'm going to say. Foreshadowing. Riccoboni was then joined on commentary by Brutal Bob Evans for the Top Prospect Tournament match. The bracket graphics listed the following first round matches: Josh Woods versus Chris LaRusso, Brian Milonas versus Raphael King, Preston Quinn versus Kurt Stallion, and John Skyler versus Sean Carr. And it was, in fact, that match that was the second match of the night and was the first round match of the Top Prospects Tournament 2013. Footage was aired of a pre-taped Skyler promo as he made his entrance. He told competitors to get out of his way or they would be trampled. Carr also received a pre-taped promo in which he spoke about people telling him for years that he should be on television and now he's going to come out on top. Now, the reason I hesitate there was that that's exactly what he said. It's not a mistake with the way Jason wrote it. Literally, he said, People have been telling me for years I should be on TV. And that's why I'm going to be on top. Does that make sense to anybody? I know English is not my first language, but I'm sorry, does that make any sense whatsoever to anybody? No? Well, I hope not, anyway, because it made no sense to me. Anyway, back to the match. Skylar performed a nice Tiger Bomb for a two count. Skylar followed up with a Sauntaun and covered Carr for two. Evans noted that the referee was also from an ROH seminar camp. Skylar caught Carr with a super kick, and then Carr came right back with a kick and a weak super kick. Carr followed it with a nice suicide dive on the floor. There was a lot of back and forth action, and the finish came when the wrestlers were fighting for position on the ropes, but eventually Skylar performed a rolling Sauntaun from the ropes and scored the pin. And I believe they called it, I did make a note of it, the Southern Salvation, which, again, is a rolling Sauntaun from the ropes, and he scored the pin with that. So John Skylar defeated Sean Carr to advance in the Top Prospects tournament. Yeah, this was okay. It was decent. I don't think I can say anything more than that. Basically, Sean Carr was the more athletic wrestler who would do things like the dives over the top rope, do the moonsaults, do the suicide dives, do the flips inside the ring, etc., etc. Whereas John Skyler's your more badass, sort of more grounded type of wrestler, and it worked. It was okay. Neither really blew me away with anything they did, but at the same time, they also didn't stink out the joints, and they clearly know what they are doing, and they did work well together. If I want to be nitpicky, and after all, my name is Hayden Nitpicklead, one thing that irks me is, and I really hope they cut this out, is when wrestlers are on their backs being pinned, and they're obviously going to kick out, it's not the finish, but they lie there with their eyes open, and you can clearly see them watching the referee, so that they can take that as a cue to know when to kick out, and then the camera clearly shows them doing this. To me, it just takes me out of the moment, and there was a couple of times where Skylar was on his back, and literally you could just see him, you could pretty much see him mouth along with one, two, kick out. It just took me out at the moment. Again, I know it's a nitpick, but and it's not just in Ring of Honor, it's across wrestling in the modern era. This seems to happen quite a lot when people are trying to get the nearest of near falls. But I would trade not having a near fall with the reality that if you're being pinned for two, you shouldn't be lying there watching the referee. Again, a nitpick. The other thing I wanted to mention was Brutal Bob Evans on commentary. Now, I don't really particularly like Brutal Bob Evans as a wrestler. I've never really been impressed. So when he came out on color commentary, I was just thinking, oh my lord. Well, no, I'll be honest with you. I thought I'm going to get some comedy gold here. I can use it on the podcast to mock him and to make fun of him. But he was really good. Frustratingly, really good. He sort of came across as knowledgeable, familiar with the talent, and also, if I'm being honest, likable, and basically someone you should listen to. All the good traits, I'm basically saying, of a color commentator, and I really didn't think I'd be saying this, but I was very impressed. And if anything, I would say that this has put him in a position where if he wants to, is to be the regular color commentator, because I think he would do a hell of a job. From here, the Kingdom cut a promo about this six-man tag title defense against the Rebellion for next week's ROH TV. The Kingdom said, "No peasants have ever toppled a kingdom." Vinny Massaglia said he farted in the big dog's food, and there's nothing you can do about it other than breathe in the greatness. Again, I am not making that up. Riccoboni said the winners of the six-man tag team title match next week will be challenged by Dalton Castle and the Boys at the pay-per-view. Alright, a couple things here. First of all, Vinny's lying about farting in dog food. What? All three men were standing backstage, and I'm being nice here, but they all look like Steel Panther rejects. I mean, you know, if I want to make a joke from 10 years ago, hello, the 1980s have called and they want their clothes back. It was awful. They just looked like absolute goofballs. And then they're talking about things like peasants and Melvins and farting in dog food. This just did nothing for me whatsoever. It's always been the same with Matt Taven with me. Is that fine line between being annoying to the point you want to see someone shut them up and go away heat. And the new kingdom, I've crossed that line, especially with this backstage promo of just go away heat. I just have no interest in them whatsoever. The only interest I have, again, if I'm being 100% honest, is for podcast comedy gold, because if they just keep coming out with this absolute nonsense like farting in dog food, I'm going to have a lot of material. And the other thing is, and Jason pointed this out in his report, the Rebellion beat Dalton Castle and the boys last week. So how exactly have they now got a tag team title shot next week? At the pay-per-view? It doesn't make sense. There's no reason why they should be given any kind of title match. They should, you know, perhaps have a match next week, you know, on the end. Oh, no, I say that now, and I just can't imagine having 2 6-man matches. But you know what I'm saying, in terms of there has to be a reason for these matches. Otherwise, you're just throwing them out there, and it doesn't make the title seem that prestigious, because you're having someone who, a team that continually lose, but yet they're still number one contenders. It's just a bit weird and a bit wrong. Speaking of wrong, the Tampura boys headed to the ring for a match. The Motor City Machine Guns music played, but they didn't come out. Riccoboni spoke to someone through his headsets and asked if they could get a camera backstage. Without explaining anything else, he said they needed to go to a break. Again, I think this is more than a nitpick. This is what I really don't like about Ring of Honor on occasions, is their attention to detail. Because when they came back from the break, Riccoboni made no mention of Motor City Machine Guns when we came back. And they make all the effort to try and, you know, quote unquote, make it real or more real. You know, because I guess that the point is, what they were trying to say is that the Motor City Machine Guns got attacked backstage, and rather than the convenient camera being around to catch either the action or the moments after the beatdown, you know, it makes it feel more real, like a shoot brother. But they go to all that effort, and then coming out of a commercial break, you don't get any update. It doesn't make much sense. It from a sports perspective, if just to use an American analogy, if a quarterback gets injured going into halftime and he's limping off, and then they come back out and there's a replacement, and they don't even mention that there's a replacement, and they don't even give an update on the injury to the quarterback, that would never happen. And this is the same thing here. And, you know, just to fast forward to the end of the show, there was a beatdown happening on Lio Rush, and the Motor City Machine Guns just ran out. You know, yeah, they were sort of selling the beatdown, but at the same time, not to the point where you're just thinking, okay, well, why can we've got an update? Why can we've just been told that, okay, well, they're okay. We'll have words with them either on the website or on next week's show to explain what happened. And then you know, it just gives that perception then that when they run out later on, that it's not just some sort of continuity error. It just felt very amateur. I think that's the best way of putting it. The whole thing with the Motor City Machine Guns. And the fact as well, when they actually run out to save the beatdown later on, Riccoboni mentioned the fact that we saw earlier on that they got beaten up, but we didn't. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know if he misspoke or whether they shot something which they decided not to air in the end because it was bad quality. I don't know. But it was just very, very weird. The whole scenario was just weird. And this, along with the Kingdom promo, is the low points for me of this show. But we go from the low points, and we're going to talk about the high points, which is, of course, my boy Marty Skrull taking on Donovan Dijak. And this is for the ROH TV title and was your main event. Marty Scurll, of course, came out to his fantastic entrance, which, you know, is the best in ROH from a production point of view. Obviously, the best music is Adam Cole's, in my opinion. But the whole production and the whole feel of an entrance, the best, of course, is Marty Scurll. So, before the match, Donovan Dijak offered a handshake. Scurll thought about it, and the fans chanted no. Marty turned to the crowd and said, "I don't care what you think," and then kicked Dijak's hand away. Dijak caught Scurll with a big boot, then sent him to ringside, and then followed this up with a Fosbury flop over the top rope. Dijak hit a top rope elbow for a near fall. Dijak put Scurll in a torture rack, but Scurll raked his eyes to get out of it. I'm not going to go through the whole match, but towards the end of the match, the fans were chanting, "This is awesome." Marty Scurll performed the pile driver for a one count. Dijak then connected with a feast your eyes, but Marty Scurll kicked out. Dijak once again stuck his hand out, trying to get respect from the Englishman. Scurll grabbed his finger and acted like he broke it, and then laughed manically. He then stood on Dijak's finger and slapped him repeatedly. Dijak came back with a choke slam onto his knee. Dijak missed a corkscrew dive, so Scurll applied the chicken wing. He wrenched on Dijak's finger, then reapplied the hold and got the submission win. So Marty Scurll defeated Donovan Dijak to retain the ROH TV title. Just to finish off, after the match, Rush entered the ring and had a stare down with Scurll, who held up his title belt. Scurll teased leaving only to spin Rush around and then hit him with the title belt. Scurll set up for the chicken win, but the Rebellion ran out and Scurll fled. The Motor City Machine Guns, as I've already mentioned, then came out with others to aid Leo Rush. I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was very, very good. It was the best I think I've seen of Marty Scurll in ROH. And that's mostly because he was playing a heel and not looking to get a reaction from the crowd. He came across as being a good heel in terms of drawing up the crowd while at the same time being incredibly cocky and arrogant. And one of the things that he did here, which he hasn't done since I've seen him on the UK independent scene, was when he snapped the fingers and you heard the big click. Since he's been in ROH, he's held his stomach and pretended that he's sickened by his own actions. But here he just laughed manically, you know, like a villain. There we go. But it just gave that real deep heel persona in terms of this guy is crazy and he'll do anything to hurt his opponents. And I really liked that. The match overall, with the two breaks, it kind of slowed down the momentum, which was a shame. But it was still a good main event. Obviously, the fact that they let Marty Scurll kick out of Feast Your Eyes is more proof that Donovan Dijak, unfortunately, isn't long for ROH. You know, Dijak, in my opinion, is just phenomenal with the things that he can do for a big man. You know, he can do the power moves, but at the same time, he's incredibly gifted athletically. If he goes to NXT, like has been reported, and he can continue developing like he has since he won the top prospect tournament over the last couple of years, it's absolutely terrifying to think of this man's potential, because he is really, he's come on leaps and bounds in the last couple of years. I'm not sure why they allowed him to kick out at one from a pile driver. I don't understand the logic of that. It did seem that he was hulking up, if you will, for lack of a better term. But at the same time, it just did nothing for me, and it didn't really make much sense in the context of the match. But that aside, I did enjoy this, and as I said, I think this was Marty Scurll's best outing in ROH so far. I've already mentioned about the Motor City Machine Guns, but I'm liking the fact that they are going with Marty Scurll against Leo Rush, because that is going to be a hell of a match. You know, the beatdown after the match was what it was. You know, a little angle and put a bit of heat on this feud, ready for the pay-per-view match. But yeah, apart from that, it was just a good main event, and then an interesting follow-up at the end. So yeah, that was your ROH TV wrestling review. I have nothing to plug this week. I'm hoping to sit down and write my preview for Fastlane and my predictions as well. So look, be on the lookout for that over the weekend. You can find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleed. And as I said earlier on, take up ProWrestling.net membership and you'll be able to hear my audio, all the other guys' audios with the Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, Lucha Underground, Progress Wrestling, all the pay-per-views, .NET Weekly, Q&A, British Invasion Podcasts, the Pretentious Wrestling Podcasts. There's just so much, and there is more that I'm not even mentioning. And as I said, it's completely ad-free, which means that you will never have to go onto the website and see all the big flashing banners all over the place. For me personally, when I was just reading the site and decided to become a member, that was the main reason I took up membership, to stop the ads. But then I was surprised by the not only the amount, the quantity of the audio, but also the quality. And with that thought, I will leave you. So have a lovely week, everybody. And for the non-members, I hope to speak to you soon.